If you want to get right with the Lord, turn your right turn signal on. And if you're in need of prayer, turn your hazard lights on. And if you want to be baptized, turn your sprayers on. And that way we'll know. I'm kidding, of course. I've preached in nursing homes. I've preached in funeral homes. I've preached in prison. I've preached in reform school and schools and street corners and living rooms, but never preached at a window to a parking lot filled with cars. And is everybody hearing okay? Okay, Brother Art isn't. Delberta isn't. Anybody that once can come in the building, you can sit in an office or wherever. We tell you to move your cars, but you're going to have a problem doing that. I think Brother Art should have the best spot. But we won't have singing unless you want me to sing to you, and I'm sure you don't. So we'll turn. If you have an offering, Brother Dennis is doing that, or you can put it in the box. It's on the flower pot by the door. Okay, we'd like to turn to the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 14 through verse 16, very familiar verses. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather in this way, and we just pray, Lord, that you would just work everything out. We pray, Lord, concerning this whole situation, Lord, that you would relieve us of this, that you'd be merciful to our country, Lord, that you would protect us from those who do not have good intentions, and we just pray, Lord, that you would bless your people, bless your churches. We do pray for Theta as she continues her chemo treatments, Lord, that you just bless her and be with her in a very special way. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, everybody can hear. And the passage that we read is really one of the most encouraging passages in the Word of God when it comes to perseverance and prayer. We have to remember that the first readers of Hebrews, these individuals had been saved by the amazing grace of God. They were now living their lives surrounded by the influence and bombardment of unbelievers and ritualistic religion. It was a time of incessant threats and persecution by their countrymen. And, of course, their life was filled with a lot of turmoil, a lot of difficulty. Many of these Hebrews, because of such, were tempted to cast away their faith and return to Judaism, and many of them had done so. The first readers of the letter were also witnessing some of their brothers and sisters in Christ being controlled by their adverse circumstances and their surroundings. So the letter is written to persuade these individuals to continue on in the faith, to persuade them of the superiority of Christ and what they possessed in Christ and how they were to press on for the cause of Christ and not be sucked in and consumed by the surrounding influence of mere religion. In order to do this, the writer calls their attention to Christ, and he's encouraging them, don't lose heart. Keep advancing toward Christ. And all through the letter, we see he reminds his readers that Christ is everything you need in whatever need there is. And he's just reminding them to maintain confidence in Jesus Christ. And we see two words that are used 13 times throughout the book and twice here in our text, and those are the words, let us. They're present tense, conveying the idea of continuance. And we see them again in verse 14, and we see it in verse 16. And then what follows is a duty. And in our text, it is cling and come. Let us cling, let us come. And that's our subject this morning, cling and come. The truth is, we that are saved do not have to be overwhelmed. We do not have to be troubled. We do not have to be distressed. We do not have to be joyless. And one of the reasons is what we read here in our text verses. What we read here is very rich in truth, very simple truth. And I pray that the Lord would plant this truth deep into our hearts. Our first point is simply there's a basic fact, or a blessed fact, that is stated. In verse 14, we see the first two words, seen then, indicative that the writer is picking up on something that he said before, something that he had previously said. In this case, it would take us back to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 16 through chapter 3, verse 1, where he addresses the subject of Jesus Christ as our high priest. And now we read, seeing then, we have a great high priest. Notice it's not just seeing then that there is a great high priest. There is a great high priest, but this says something more. It says we have a great high priest. That is, we are in possession of a great high priest. We have a relationship with a great high priest. So again, this is more blessed and this is a more personal fact than simply there is a high priest. We have a great high priest. And then what follows in our text is the details of having a great high priest. So let's consider the office of priest. Twice in our text, we read the words high priest. Now, in the Old Testament, the priest, of course, stood between God and man. He was a go-between, God and man. He was the one who did something Godward in behalf of man and one who ministered to man in behalf of God. In the Old Testament, it was the highest religious position of all who served in the tabernacle or later the temple. It was an office of consecration, that is, a priest had been set apart from all men. It was through the priest that God communed with men. It was the priest who communicated with God from man. The priest would hear the trembling and troubling and oppressed and the poor and the broken who had come from the furthest end of Israel, and they had come with their burdens and their perplexities. And then the priest would present these requests and these burdens to the Lord. And we have right now, a great high priest. The Old Testament priest dealt with matters of sin. He dealt with matters of judgment for the people. He would hear confessions of sin. He would hear their pleadings for pardon, and then he would present such to God. And you and I, we have a great high priest. In the Old Testament, the priest would console the sorrowful. He was one whom the sorrowful could tell their griefs, and then he would present such to God. And again, we have right now a great high priest. The Old Testament priest would hear the desires of the people, and he would present such to the Lord. And again, we have right now a great high priest. The Old Testament priest would offer sacrifice for the people. He would make intercession for the people. He would then come forth and bless the people. And we have right now a great high priest. So the word great is used, of course, to describe the dignity of our high priest, to describe the excellency of our high priest. So we have a great high priest. So now we need to know, what is the identity of our great high priest? Who is our great high priest? Well, we read in verse 14, we have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God. That is, we have one who presents himself to God on our behalf. We have one who approaches and communicates for us with God. We have one who hears our confessions of sin, presents them to God. He hears our petitions, presents them to God on our behalf, presents our burdens to God, makes intercession for us, and it is Jesus. It is Jesus that does this, and he is the Son of God. He is equal with God. He is God himself. He's everything that God is. He's eternal. He's infinite. He's immutable. He's sovereign. He's almighty. He's all-knowing. He's the sustainer of all. He's all-sufficient. He's holy. He's pure. He's sinless. And as our high priest, he is greater than. He's greater than death. He's greater than darkness. He's greater than the forces of hell. He's greater than our sinfulness. He's greater than the vileness and the corruption and the depravity of ourselves and of the world. He's greater than any problem, any trial, any difficulty, any need, any care, any burden, any sorrow, any failure. He's greater than all my unworthiness. He's greater than all my unacceptableness. We have a great high priest, and he is Jesus, the Son of God. And as such, he's always greater and more than anything that I will ever need. So again, we have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God. And because our priest is Jesus, the Son of God, he is absolutely reliable, trustworthy, suitable, and appropriate in all places, all circumstances, and all times. So we have a great high priest. He is Jesus, the Son of God. Next, let's look at the position of our high priest. In verse 14, we have a great high priest that is right now, passed into the heavens. So our great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, is passed into the heavens. What that means is that he has passed through all the difficulties. He has passed through all the afflictions, all the persecutions, all the sufferings. He has passed through the crucifixion. He's passed through death. He's passed through the grave. And now he's in heaven for me. We read in Hebrews 1 and verse 3 that when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And in Hebrews 10, verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God. And he does so today. He does so right now, has the honored one for us, has the accomplisher of his work, has the conqueror of our foes, has the intercessor to plead for us, has the channel of blessing. And today, you and I that are saved, we are blessed by God, through Jesus Christ, blessed with a life that can never be lost. We have a foundation that can never be shaken because Jesus Christ is our foundation. We have an attachment that can never be severed. We have a righteousness in Jesus Christ that can never be tarnished. We have an acceptance that can never be questioned in Jesus Christ. We have a justification that can never be overturned. We have an acquittal that can never be reversed, a destiny that can never be changed. And we have a salvation that is absolutely certain. So my great high priest, Jesus Christ the Lord, is passed into the heavens, and there he sits as the Almighty One, the waiting one, to receive us. Now, the character of our high priest, we see that in verse 15, and we're not going to go into that, but we see it speaks of his tenderness, His compassion. In other words, He feels with His people. He's not indifferent. He stoops continually to us. So that brings us to the encouragement that you and I have from all of this. You'll notice that our text mentions there in verse 15, we have infirmities. That is, we have weaknesses. We have frailty. We have disability. We have impairments. And He, Jesus, the Son of God, is our ascended, exalted, compassionate, sympathizing high priest. And He sits there before God on my behalf, on your behalf. And in relation to this, we twice read these words, let us. This is what we're to do in relation to the fact that we have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God. He says, first of all, verse 14, let us hold fast our profession. What that means is, let us cling to Jesus Christ. Throughout life, there is one Jesus, the Son of God, who sits at the right hand of God. He makes ceaseless intercession for me, for you. He has an unequaled capacity for understanding and sympathizing with us. And through Him, all the blessings of God flow. And He has in every need what I need. Whatever your need is this morning, He has what you need. And because of this, we read, let us hold fast our profession. So we have to ask, what is our profession? Well, in Hebrews 3, verse 1, we read, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. So I believe our profession has to do with the subject matter of the faith that we possess. And who is the subject matter of the faith that we possess? It's Jesus Christ. Let us hold fast our profession of faith. Let us hold fast this subject matter of our faith. Let us clasp and grasp and cling to Jesus Christ. We are to cling to Jesus Christ, and we're told the manner in which we're to do so. We're to hold fast, which means to hold securely, to hold firmly, to do so immovably. And in Hebrews 10, verse 23, we're to do so without wavering, that is, without faltering. So we are to cling to Jesus Christ. We're not to let go. We have a great high priest, which is passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we are to cling to Him. And we must cling to Him. And here we are in adverse circumstances, and we must cling to Christ. We must not let go. And if I fail in clinging to Christ, thanks be unto God, He does not let go of me. No one can snatch me out of His hand. So let us hold fast. That is, cling to Christ. Cling to Christ. No matter what's going on, cling to Christ. And then we come to verse 16. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. In light of the fact that we have a great high priest, we are to come. We're to cling, and we are to come. And because I have Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as a great high priest, I can come to God. There is nothing, absolutely nothing in me that would give me any right whatsoever, that would give me any merit whatsoever to come to Jesus Christ. There is nothing in any other man on earth who might call himself a priest. There is nothing in him that would give him merit to approach God on my behalf. But there is one, Jesus Christ. He is God Himself. He is perfectly righteous. And because of Him, I can come to God. I can come to God through Him. I never come on my own merit because I'm unacceptable no matter what in myself, but I am acceptable in Him, through Him, and I can come through Him, and He represents me before God. Jesus, the Son of God. Oh, how blessed we are to have a great high priest. And our lives ought to be marked by a continual approach and moving closer to God. I have the privilege of coming to God. And my life ought to be marked by such. We live in a sinful, wicked, twisted time. A very chaotic, very anxious, very fearful time. But do not forget this fact. We have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God. And He sits at the right hand of God. He makes ceaseless intercession for us. He has unequaled capacity to understand everything about me. He has unequaled capacity to sympathize with us. From Him all the blessings of God flow. Cling to Him. Cling to Him. Don't let go. Come to Him. This is what ought to mark our lives. Clinging to Him. Coming to Him. This will serve as a deterrent to a life of spiritual stagnancy. This will be a deterrent to a life of emptiness and formality and a life of mere profession. We have a great high priest. In other words, we have a friend. We have a friend in high places. We have a friend that sits at the right hand of God. And this friend, Jesus Christ, is interested in me. And He loves me. He loves me so much that He came and gave His life on the cross and went to the grave and rose again. And He has ascended and He sits at the right hand of God as my friend. I have a friend in high places. And we don't have to struggle in our own strength. We don't have to go backwards spiritually. Because I have a great high priest, I can come to God. And we thank God today for this blessed truth that we have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God. Let's look to the Lord, a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank You, Lord, that we're able to have services even like this, Lord. We thank You. We thank You, Lord, for Your word. We do thank You, Lord, for this blessed fact that Jesus Christ is our great high priest. Lord, we pray that our lives would be marked by clinging to Him, coming to God through Him. Lord, that You'd help us. We do pray for each one that is gathered here today. We're thankful, Lord, for the good number that has come. We're thankful, Lord, for each home represented, and Lord, we know that people are struggling. People are struggling in different ways, and You know each one of us, Lord. You know our hearts, and we just pray that You'd help us. Help us, Lord, to do what we ought to do at all times. Help us, Lord, to be what we ought to be. Just help each one of us, Lord, to cause us to remember one another in prayer. And Lord, we do pray for this situation that we find ourselves in, Lord, that You would just take care of the whole thing. And Lord, that we could get back to some sort of normalcy. Lord, that You would just help us. We do pray for those that are lost. Lord, help them. We pray, Lord, that You would reach down, that You would save their souls. Again, Lord, we thank You, and we just pray that You would be with us in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.